peace, innumerable blessings, and welcome to the Spirituality and Motherhood Podcast, where we reside in that sacred space where spirituality meets motherhood. And in this space, we're fitting to explore everything from how ancestral and earth-based spiritual paths and practices shape motherhood to how having spiritual gifts impacts your experience as a mother. I am Jeanette Jackson, your hostess, the mother of two boys, a hoodoo, a psychic, and a tree-talking lay herbalist. Thanks so much for being here and rolling with me. And before we get into it, I'm gonna thank you again for your support. Y'all know I can't do this without y'all listening and liking and subscribing and sharing. So please continue to listen, like, subscribe, and share. And if you got it, send me some change via PayPal. My link is paypal.me/ritualmama. The link is in the show notes. Okay. Today, we's chatting with Tam LeBlanc, affectionately known as Enlightened Auntie. She's a spiritual healer, an artist, and the owner of 3P Artistry. Tam has been involved with the healing arts ever since 2003, but has recently shifted her focus towards guiding others in clearing childhood trauma, healing generational curses, and teaching them how to recognize and release toxic behaviors in relationships. She uses her intuitive and empathic gifts to help guide her clients towards self-realization, self-sufficiency, and detachment from toxicity, egoism, and negative self-talk in order to lead more productive lives. Tam brings rawness and compassion that her clients not only praise, but appreciate. Her approach is firm yet gentle. She offers a lot of tough love. In this first part of our chat, now I have to warn you, Tam and I, like, we went on. But in this first part, we're going to talk about how her grandmother planted little spiritual seeds that blossomed into a love for astrology, but also I would say a love for divination. We're also going to talk about her working through childhood-ish. We also talk about growing as a parent and somehow what the first child gets is not what the last child gets, and kind of feeling some way about, like, oh yeah, you didn't get that and I'm sorry. I pray this first part of our conversation blesses you, and I can't wait to see you on the other end. Finally.
Yes.
Let's get a crack a lacking. You know what though? I was looking at your I follow you on Twitter. So I've seen some of the things you
said. And I see your face. Like, as soon as I opened it up and I saw it, whatever, I was like, I don't see my face. Yes.
And one of the things I appreciate about following you is you always give wisdom that holds people accountable for whatever is going on. Whatever's going on.
I think just over the course of my own life and just the words that I live by right now are like transparency, transparency, transparency. And I feel like if I show up in the most transparent form that I can be in, that while I know other people are not, most people, there are, you know, a lot of folks are still walking around wearing a mask thinking that, you know, we can't smell the BS. We can't see the BS. I can see behind that mask. So masks don't faze me. I'm still going to show up as who I am, but I recognize, I learned recently that part of my mission in this lifetime is to get people to hold themselves accountable. Mm. And I am truly a mirror to what, and I couldn't figure it out, because I've this last year has been really challenging me to interact with people again in a more authentic way, but like at the highest level of authenticity I've ever, like, this is the most transparent I've ever been. And God kind of said, you know, just keep being who you are, keep showing up as who you are, and watch what you see. Like, pay attention to what people are reflecting back to you. And I started to notice that my interactions with people played out in really weird ways. And it was only for me to learn that what I was doing was I was just giving people back what they were giving me. So, however you show up, to me, when you show up at my door, I'm just going to reflect back to you who you are. And a lot of times, I have triggered people in ways that had me kind of looking at myself a little bit like, damn, is that, I know that that's not me. And I know when I'm not operating in my own energy, I can feel it. But I couldn't figure out why. And the why was to show people who they are. And so when I'm reflecting back to them who they are, and then they don't like it, and then they're going, but it's not me. I'm just showing you what you're showing me. And so if what you're seeing out of me is something that you don't like, then what I'm asking you to do is really reflect on yourself and look back at what you're projecting out. What are you projecting? And if you are projecting some funky shit, I'm gonna show you some funky shit. I'm gonna show it to you. And it may get uncomfortable and you might not understand it, but it's taken me the course of this last year, specifically the last year, I've met a bunch of different people in all walks of life. And I stopped second guessing my intuition. When people feel off, and I know it's off, and I can tell that they're battling their demons, it's not my job to help them battle their demons. It's my job to kind of point the demon out. And it is meant for you to eradicate that demon. It is meant for you to face your demon. It's meant for you to deal with your demon. I'm just going to show them to you. How you play with them, it's your business. I don't get involved. I don't get involved unless you invite me in to involve myself and help you. But otherwise, I'm going to show it to you and I'm going to let you play with your demon. Y'all go play out and fist fight it in the street if you want to. And when you're ready to really get serious about the work, then come talk to me. But while you out there battling your demon, I'm going to let you battle that shit by yourself because I've already battled mine. I'm already very, very well versed with my demons. We shake hands, we fist bump. I know, you know what I'm saying? Like I've done my shadow work and I lived in a real for a really long time. I was really promoting the whole like kind of going back to when I saw your that podcast about Celtic ancestry and all that. Like I just
Yeah.
scrolled through. I like kind of just like really scrolled through and wanted to see if there was a title that jumped out, and that one jumped out because that was my introduction to spirituality. I want to say like initiated into all things Celtic, and I couldn't figure out why. Like that is the whitest white of white. Like what? I'm half black and half Chinese. Yo, like where is all this like Celtic stuff coming from? But I have always felt a very deep connection to Celtic symbols, the designs, the swirl, and the way that they connect. And I don't know why. I never knew why. I never really understood it. And I never really dug into it. I just, you know, it was like, okay. And then a few years ago, when I started to kind of look at the way my life had played out and just some of the things and challenges that I've had to always address and deal with, I was like, you know, I have a funny feeling that in past lives, I think I've even posed this question on Twitter before. I'm like, in a past life, do you always think that like whatever you are now, do you always think that you would like you wake up, you're black, but do you think you've always been black? And So a few years ago, I kind of started scratching the surface of what I believe I feel in a past life that I was a white woman of privilege. And the reason why I say that is because race has been a big, big, big theme in my life. Being biracial has been a huge theme in my life and what that means. And having to be, I think coming from a position of having to like fight for myself, defend my blackness, defend being half Chinese, and then being ostracized by the black community, just the whole plight of being biracial in itself, especially in the world of social media, kind of opened it up in ways that I had never. It was way bigger than what it was just in my own life. But I really believe, like, I feel like in a past life, I was a woman of affluence because money and race are the two things that have been playing out in my life in such a major way, where it's been struggle to have money, struggle to keep money, and then race always played a part somewhere, you know? And so I was like, okay, I can kind of get behind that. And I just left it there. I didn't really dig much deeper into it. I'm just like, I think same thing with like my mother. I feel like my mother, she operates in distorted masculine energy. She's really a man. There's a man, a really evil man living in that woman's body. But I also feel like she and I have been tied to each other for lifetimes. And I feel like she may have been my partner or like my husband or something with my dictator, something. And I do believe that my husband and I have been together for lifetimes. I have another old friend. Well, I use the word friend loosely. I would have said in the days when, you know, the twin flame theory was really swirling around, there was a time when I was like, okay, this man is my twin because the similarities were just insane, and the connection, the telepathic connection, insane. All of that was really weird and insane for me. But I also recognized too the adversarial energy between like my husband and my ex, and these two men have never met, but there's always been this weird thing. And my daughter is also intuitive. My daughter was the one who pointed it out to me. She was like, you know, what if they were brothers in a past life? And what if this brother always got the girl? She was like, I think somewhere subconsciously, dad is kind of like in the weird, I can't believe this is happening because he got the girl, he won the girl, he's keeping the girl, the girl's his. And she was like, and she's always said that. She's like, I think that's what it is. I think, you know, if he feels this jealousy thing against him, I think it's something that he's had always. It's always been with him. But my husband and I have always also known that we were meant to be together because our lives, our birth charts, everything about who we are, we mirror each other. I am a female version of my husband. He is the male version of me. It's the strangest thing. And we've just recently started picking those things apart. Like my husband will talk about it. And he doesn't believe in, I won't say he doesn't believe, but he doesn't subscribe to my spirituality. And that's fine. You know, he's always known that I've been this woo-woo woman. I've been this way the whole time we've known each other. He doesn't really get down with the astrology of things, but if I have some astrological information to pass and I'm being very serious about it when I'm telling him, he pays attention. So we find a balance to where I can get him the information that he needs that I know will be useful for him. But I also allow him to kind of navigate his own emperor life because he does embody everything. I mean, he is the Aries. He is an Aries through and through first house and sun, Leo moon, like child, he is an Aries. And so everything about
With the
me,
Leo
every
moon, he's the king of
everything
the
about
castle.
child, everything about the emperor, my husband embodies Taurus, sun, Libra, moon, everything about the empress, I embody with a Pisces rising. Child, we are like our charts are very, very similar, even to where, even if we're not very, like in some areas, like they're the, we have the, we share the same planets and placements, but the degrees, I'm just now learning degree theory. The degrees of where they sit, they're very, our charts just kind of mesh. It is the most
beautiful.
It is the most beautiful thing. I don't even know. Like, I just, it's the most beautiful thing. So I utilize probably more of my astrological knowledge, like things that I'm learning, is it's an ever learning thing. And I realize that the community that I am in, majority of the people that I am very fond of, they're all, you know, decades younger than I am. So the context of their astrology knowledge versus the context of my astrology knowledge are very different, because I deal with predictive astrology. I look back to look ahead because I'm old enough to do that. I'm old enough to go, I remember the last time Saturn was in Pisces. I remember what was happening. I remember the last time, the last two times Aries was in the north node and Libra was in the south node. I remember both of those times. I remember what happened, and I've seen it play out in my life. I see it playing out in my life right now. So can't nobody tell me astrology is not real. You know what I mean? Like, it's
right.
It's real. It's real. And it's just about how you apply that to your life, even to the point where I use it loosely to guide my children. Again, I embody everything that the Empress is. So I am guiding my children through being the mother that I didn't have.
Right.
Because I didn't have somebody who was nurturing. And it's kind of weird, because when I look back, it's like, it wasn't nurturing. I'm like, I'm not even going to candy cut. It wasn't nurturing.
So where are you getting this from, since you didn't get it? Like, is it somewhere that
So when I was growing up, I spent a lot of time with my maternal grandmother, and my grandmother was into astrology. That's how it started for me. And it's weird because I didn't realize, and it comes full circle, because I didn't realize, and this is the one thing that people don't know about my mother, is that while she may give off the appearance of opulence and, you know, she's been a successful businesswoman and very well connected and da 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 da, what she doesn't really talk about is her energy work. My mother is an energy worker. My mother has always been an energy worker. Folks don't know that. So
this is in your blood.
It's in my blood. My grandmother, my mother, her practice was I Ching Oracle. And I remember playing with it. When I remember the box, she kept the box where she always kept the box where I could see it when I was growing up. So I always played with it. I didn't know what it was. I couldn't read. I just saw the little symbols and the little coins, and I tossed them, and I didn't know what I was doing, but you know, I knew they existed. But I also remember my mom grew up during the era of the hippie, free love. Everybody was, you know, everybody was loving on everybody. Like, that was just, you know, what folks were doing back then. But my grandmother, my very Chinese grandmother, she was teaching me astrology through reading horoscopes. So when I was learning to read, she got the newspaper. She got the LA Times delivered to the house every day. Every day she'd whip out the newspaper and she would have me read the horoscopes out loud. That was her way of like teaching me how to read, but also kind of getting me involved in what she was interested in. And then we would talk about, you know, she would talk about Chinese astrology, which I have barely even scratched the surface of trying to learn Chinese astrology. It's just I have way too much stuff in my head right now, because I'm I'm learning all of this tropical astrology, but I also do have an interest in Vedic.
Yes.
But what I see, I do see where the, and that's the controversial thing, because when you're on one side, the one
You're not
side
supposed to
don't
be on
like
the
the other
other.
side. I
Yes, beef.
actually can kind of see how they do this, even though everybody in the astrology world on every side will all say, no, that's not possible. I'm an energy worker, so I see it
Gotcha.
versus, you know what, does that make sense? Like I can,
Yes.
it's like literally like the movie The Matrix, like where you see like all these layers of, I can see it. People, the normal folks don't, can't see it with their just regular human eyes, but I can see the layers and how it's meant. 'Cause I can see like my Western chart. I'm like, oh yeah, that's a tropical chart. So I totally get it. But when I look at my Vedic chart, I'm like, okay, well, that totally makes sense. Why XYZ, XYZ? I totally get that too. But then when I start looking at the degree theory, I'm like, oh yeah. So all of these things, it doesn't mean that one has to be, you know, it's got to be just this or just that. It can be all of it. I embrace all of it because, I mean, I can see it. So it makes sense to me. I mean, it may not make sense to most, but it makes sense to me. I realized maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I didn't realize how deep my mother was into it, but my mom over the last, I want to say maybe 10 years. No, my daughter's 15 now, so maybe longer than that. My mother is now the, she's kind of been acting as the matriarch of our family on my mother's side. Because my grandmother was the second born of 13 kids. So my grandmother would have been an elder.
Yes.
The first born, the very first born sibling, like the first born daughter. She's still alive and she and my mom are very close, but she doesn't want to take on the whole matrix. She like, she's rather not. My mom is like, yes, Leo sun, Leo moon, Leo rising,
Ooh,
Leo
these Leo
Pluto.
moons. I have a Leo moon too. I feel like I should disclose
Right.
the Leo
Like,
moons.
but it's, and the thing about from, but with my mom having all of that Leo in her chart, everything about everything she does is always about her. And
Yeah.
it's very self, it's very centered around self, where I am the opposite, and I am giving everybody, you know, like I'm open to everybody. I tell my client, even my clients that work with me, like for the people who book live sessions with me, that select group of people have direct access to me anytime they need me. Like that's who I am. I am giving like that because I feel like my job here is to be a guide to help you. Now, I'm not going to do the work for you, but I can tell you how to navigate the energy. What I dislike is when I get on social media and you see all the astrologers talking about, you know, the eclipses and the retrogrades and life is going to be doom and gloom and everything's going to be on fire. Don't tell me about the negative stuff. Don't tell me about the, because basically that's fear mongering. I don't like doing that. I would rather arm you with information to help you navigate the transit versus just telling you you might be dealing with some doom and gloom. Because that doesn't help anybody.
No.
And for me, I experience, and I recognized it not too long ago, I experienced things before the collective is. Like it hits me like maybe 2 weeks to maybe a month before everybody else has it happen. So sometimes when people are talking about these transits and stuff, I don't feel it. I don't like every all the doom and gloom that they're talking about, I don't feel it. So I know if I don't feel it, that's not really what it is. That's not what's happening. And a lot of times, and I hate to put it like that on the astrologers, but a lot of times it's almost like, you know, like self-fulfilling prophecies where they talk in the doom and gloom, and now you've got a collective doom and gloom.
That's the scary thing about Twitter. I find that sometimes seeds are planted in consciousness, and it's more about something, some other weird agenda that is not necessarily clear than really the energy that is manifest. Like there was this whole sort
Right.
of wave of talking about war before Palestine came out, and
I
I'm like,
literally
you
don't
guys
even look.
need to stop. Like, can we
Stop.
stop? Can we, like, you don't want this. You don't understand what war is.
I
I
don't
don't,
even let
like,
my
you don't
kids, like, I
want
don't even
it.
Right. I don't even let my kids joke about stuff that's like that it could turn into some self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, do not invite
Fair
that
play.
into your existence. I don't talk about it. I don't think about it. And that's not to say that I'm living in some kind of fantasy world where everything is sunshine and roses. That's not reality either. But what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to invite, because that's what the devil wants. The devil wants you to be confused. The devil wants you to be scared. I'm not trying to live in that reality because, child, I've lived my whole life feeling scared and confused. I've done it already. I'm tired. I ain't got time for that. Right now, I just want to be very clear-headed. I want to be grounded. That's all I encourage folks to do. Be clear-headed. Be grounded so that you understand that the emotions that you're feeling, whether they're yours or whether it belongs to someone else that is projecting onto you, pay attention. Like, that is my mission. My mission is to wake people up, show them who they are. Show them who they are and show them to the path that will get them to where they need to be. I cannot do the work, and I understand it took me a long time to get there, that part. I can't do the work for you because I love everybody. So I'm always trying to like help people and pull them across. The only thing I can do is just champion you from the sidelines and go, yes, go, keep going, keep going. That's all I can do because I haven't been given the authority to do it for you. So I can't, and I think that since it's really kind of funny because I never imagined Enlightened Auntie to be all of this. I've had my Twitter account since 2007. When I got it, I didn't even know how to use it. Like, I inadvertently posted my phone number to, because I somebody had commented to me and I was like, hey, give me a call. And I put my phone number, child. And my friend was like, oh my God, bro, take that off. You are just posting your phone number on all of the internet. And I was like, oh shit, okay. I didn't know how to use it. So for a long time, like, I got it and I didn't use it. I just kind of let it sit dormant and I just, whatever. And in 2019, just before we did lockdown, like just before COVID hit and everything, something was like, get on Twitter and see what's going on Twitter. Because I hated Facebook and Facebook is lame and it's just an old, Facebook is like an old cesspool of the same people who are on Nextdoor. It's the same thing. Have you ever been on Nextdoor? It's an awful place. It is worse than Facebook.
It's
Nextdoor is the
scary
old
the things
people's.
people say on Nextdoor because you know that's your neighbor and they're over here talking
Right.
about all these horrible, like, you can't talk about children
Yeah, it
that
just,
way. If you got snakes, maybe that's the problem. Maybe you got them
I
snakes because you
cannot
say ugly
stand
things about the
Nextdoor.
neighbor's kids.
Right. So I got on Twitter and then I started seeing, I kind of somehow stumbled into spiritual Twitter somehow. I don't even know how I got there. I just kind of like, because I really didn't, I wasn't following many people, but I somehow stumbled onto spiritual Twitter and I was like, oh my God, these are my people. Like, they're talking my language. They're talking about stuff that I can totally get behind. But then I recognized that a lot of the people that I was engaging with are all the ages of my children. These are kids. I'm about to be 52 years old. Everybody that I was talking to were like in their early 20s. Like, these are kids, these are babies. And I was like, then I felt very self-conscious because I was like, because the people that I was following, people were post back then, I was following this one girl and she was posting like almost daily downloads and readings. Like, she was posting them all the time. And I was so amazed at how fluid and clear and concise the information was. I thought it was communicated beautifully. And something just told me, just lean into who you are. Like, stop trying to impress the young kids because it doesn't really matter. Just be who you are. Like, you're a mom. You talk like a mom. Love on these kids like a mom. And then I started to discover that there was a whole generation of kids whose Gen X parents have failed them.
Okay. Yes.
And
Yes. As Gen
I was
X.
like,
Yes.
I felt, and I was raised by a boomer. My mom's a boomer. And I felt like I needed, and that was part of the reason why, like, I did like my pin tweet talking about, like, ways to change your life. Like, listen, forgive your parents because we're doing the best we can with the tools that we had. And I had to recognize that, like, we've got four kids, and the older two kids were raised very differently than my bottom two kids. And our 30-year-old is technically estranged from us. And I don't push because I understand what he's going through. I understand. It's funny because when I'm listening back to some of my general readings, I hear his story as much as I hear my own. I can tell that and I know that he feels this weird sense of being disenfranchised from the rest of us, but I also recognize too where he is kind of failing to see the bigger picture. Like, he's upset that he feels like his dad wasn't around, but his dad was working his ass off because when he was growing up, his dad left. And so his thing was like, I could have left too. I could have left y'all. I could have just had babies and went on about my life and not thought nothing about none of y'all, none of these kids. But it translates differently because my husband was working his ass off, doing all kind of overtime. He sacrificed the time with the kids so that he could keep a roof over our head and make sure that he fulfilled his obligation of taking care of us, because as the emperor, as the man, that's what he felt that his calling was to do. This is not what my dad did, so I'm going to do it different. I'm going to go to work every day. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm going to do what I have to do to make sure these kids have clothes on their back, food on the table, and they've got a mother at home who is nurturing them, who is providing the nurturing that I cannot give them. But my stepson doesn't quite see it that way. So his reality is, and I try to be very empathetic to the way that he was raised, because it was during that time where we were still kind of operating off of the way that we were raised. Come home, do chores, do your homework, get good grades, go to school and do what we want you to do. You know what I mean? Where the younger two didn't really have, we weren't really on them like that. They're kind of, my daughter is self-driven, so she gets the good grades without being told. She's involved in school and clubs and stuff, and we didn't have to tell her. She did it because she wanted to. And my 23-year-old, he's very self-directed, but he's more, I want to say, loyal to his family. It's kind of a weird dynamic because I'm also using their charts to kind of, I look at my kids' birth, I look at everybody in this house, I look at their birth charts probably more than I probably should, but I look at their birth charts a lot to gauge like what's happening in the sky right now, what's coming up in the future, something that I may need to plan for to help them navigate what they've got to go through.
But you didn't always parent that way. And I'm sure that
I
like your
didn't
parenting
always parent.
evolved as you did, and it's kind of hard.
It did. And I think, and I feel bad for my, I feel bad for our oldest son because I think for him, his parents, they had him young. Because back then, that's what folks was doing. They was having babies at 20, 21 years old. Now, if you look back, I mean, I didn't have my first child until I was 28. Had I had my kids any younger than 28, their lives would have been a shit show.
I was just thinking about when I was doing pre-28. Like I was hanging out in strip clubs. I was having a good old time in DC. I was
Right.
living my life with my
And the thing
stomach
about
out, my
it is,
locks long, having a good time.
I think the thing for us though, like my husband and I got married very young. We got together very young. And it's funny because when we look back, I'm like, I think if my son came to me today and said, Mom, I met this girl and I'm in love and I want to marry her, I would probably try to talk him out of it.
Wow.
I would probably try to talk him out of it. Even though, and my kids, we talk about this all the time because I'm very open with my kids. I talk to my kids all the time. I tell them everything. I don't keep secrets from my kids. And I don't do that because my mother kept secrets from me and lied to me all the time. So I am very much the
Kids
opposite
know
of,
anyway.
I'm not going to lie to my kids because I hate that. I hate the fact that my mother would lie to me, and I knew she was lying. She lied just for the sake of lying, but it always made me uncomfortable, and I could never understand, like, why? What's the purpose? Like, just tell me the truth, right? So with my kids, I am very transparent with them. I always tell them the truth, even when it's uncomfortable. Even if I've done something really stupid and fucked up, I still tell them, like, this is why I did it. And I explain. I don't just say, Mom did this, and then leave it, for them to kind of figure it out for themselves. I tell them why. I tell them what my rationale was at the time that I made these decisions. This is why I did it, so that they can see my perspective of why I did or why I chose to move the way that I did. It wasn't just because I was flying from the seat of my pants and said, fuck it, let's just go do it.
You know what? I would do that. I would do that. But you know what? I would have to say that motherhood has either worn me out or mellowed me. Because I'm not sure I would do that anymore. But I do, like, I really identify with sharing the whys behind the choices I've made with the children, because it allows me a sense of accountability. So that really touched me. It allows me to be accountable, and it also gives the children an opportunity to kind of see how to make better decisions. Anyway, now Enlightened Donnie and I, we carry on a bit. So the next episode is going to be a bit longer, but like to keep it 100 with y'all, eclipse season got me. It got me good. It got me good. It got me good. So this one was shorter, but we fit into wading deep. You can find Enlightened Auntie over on Twitter at Enlightened Aunt, ENLIGHTENEDAUNT. Now at Instagram, she's Enlightened Auntie. At Facebook, she's an Enlightened Auntie. And on YouTube, she's Enlightened Auntie. Now, if you're looking for me, you can find me over at Twitter at JLANCIEN77, JLANCIEN77, and over on Instagram at spirituality_motherhood_pod. And if you want to holler at me, just, you can hop into my DMs, or you could just head on over to Spirituality and Motherhood Podcast and shoot me a message. Thank you so much for being here with me. I cannot wait to share with you again soon. Stay blessed. Peace.